Thank you for downloading the Broadmead Community Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy it.
Good morning, everyone. I love to come to church, and I love when you learn something new. So I've learned this morning there's a 6 o'clock in the morning as well as in the evening. I'm not a morning person, if you don't know that. Okay, this morning we're going to bring our series on Romans 12 into land. We're just going to do the last part of Romans 12. Last week, Adam touched on some of the things that we're going to be touching on this morning. And so there's a little bit of an overlap. And I was thinking, I should have done what a Venn diagram is? I mean, you've got the two circles and then interchange. So what Adam says is important. What Jim says is important. Where the overlap is very important. Because maybe God wants to reinforce some things to us this morning. And I hope you've enjoyed the time we've had in Romans 12 and the time in reading the book. Who's been reading the book Zero Life? Few people, it's good. We'll test you later on that. No, we won't. Okay. But yeah, it's been a good few weeks just exploring this chapter together. So I want us to delve straight in this morning, and we're looking at Romans 12, verses 17 to 21. Let me read these words to you. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will pay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. Amen. Amazing words, aren't they? And I just love the way Paul just, it's quick fire, isn't it? We've had quite a lot of theology. If you've read through Romans, there's a lot of theology and a lot of deep thinking. But then every so often, Paul comes up with these, do these things. And there's 6 things in here. Listen to them carefully. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Live at peace with everyone. I love it the way in that verse Paul says, as far as possible. Paul knows, didn't he, that it's not easy to live at peace with others. Do not take revenge. Bless your enemies. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. A nice list of things. Sermon finished. Let's go and do it. It's easy, isn't it? No, it's not that easy. I don't know about you, but I struggle with these things. But I say, just go and do these things. Go and live at peace with others. And remember hearing J. John speak. And he said that when he writes notes from, sermon notes when he's listening to someone else preach, and they say, do this, he writes in big letters, YBH, yes, but how? And I read these things and I think, great, let's do it. Let's just go out there and do it. But then I think, how? How do we do it? Mark Twain, the American author, said this, it ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand. And I read these verses, this list from Paul, and it worries me because I can't do it. And if you remember last week, Adam had a fake fight on the stage with Steve, I think it was. And it got me thinking about the people who really annoy me. Okay? And I thought I would tell you some of them. Okay? I'm not going to mention anyone's names. Okay? I'm not going to mention Rob's name from badminton or anything, but I was thinking there's 3 categories of people that just I find difficult to put these verses into practice with. Okay, first of all, there's people who do things I just don't like them doing. People who do things, they just annoy me. It might not even affect me, but it just annoys me. So one example is people who park their car badly. I would love to take revenge. I don't know, there should be a photo of someone taking revenge on a bad parker coming up on the screen. Okay. What's it like? You see people who will park their car in really bad ways. You know, especially people with four-wheel drives in the park in the middle of two spaces. Sorry? We're ahead of ourselves there. Okay. Back a picture. That one there, yeah. So the person who's been blocked in for bad parking. There's people who park badly, for example, and I get annoyed and I think, I hope they get a ticket. I hope they get into trouble. It's nothing to do with me, really, is it? But it just annoys me. And there's a story in the Bible where Peter and John, there's a bit of rivalry going on, and Peter goes to Jesus and asks him questions. Is this going to happen to John? You know, will this happen to him? And Jesus replies, what's it to do with you, really, in a nutshell? So there's things where it's, I need to learn, what's it to do with you? Second is people who say or do things to hurt me. And sometimes I feel I want to get revenge on people like that. So if you look at that next one, it's the woman who's vandalised the car. And I've had people in my life who have said things, who have done things that have been hurtful, and you know, now and again, something will come up and I'll think, I hope God does justice here. I hope something happens. I'm not saying this is the way to think. I'd love to tell you I'm up here telling you all the good things to say. This is how it should plan out. But I just want to know that I struggle with these things. And we were doing a Connect group before Christmas on the, I can't remember the book, but we're talking about the fact that you can have things that are said in your life that cause hurt, and maybe hurt for many years. And one of the things I thought one day, I was driving the car. This may not have been a good experience if you're with me, but I was driving the car, worship music on, singing away, and just something popped into my head that I remember. I'm very conscious of singing. You'll never get me doing karaoke. Okay, and that's not a challenge, by the way. So, you know, but I remember when I was at school, my music teacher saying I was a terrible singer. And that was 45 years ago, and yet I still remember it, you know. So it's easy to hold on negative thoughts about people. So there's people who hurt us we want to get back at, but there's also people who hurt the people that we love. And the big one recently was Will Smith. Oh, sorry, next slide. I felt sorry for this guy. I don't know if I felt sorry for him or whether that's justice. Okay. Right, move on. Next one, people who hurt people that we love. And the big thing recently is Will Smith slapping someone publicly for saying something about his wife. And I find it more hurtful, if I was being honest, when someone says something about someone I love than them actually saying something about me. And I don't know if you're like that as well. But I was just thinking, all these three areas are areas that I really struggle. And I don't know if you want to admit to that. You don't have to. I'm not asking you to come up here and admit to it. But we probably all have struggles with people we struggle to love, people we struggle to forgive, people we want to see justice done to. So we struggle. And in CO life, one thing that's been challenging, if you've been following every day, is every day there's a little challenge to go and show God's love to others. I don't know how you're getting on with that. I'm not going to ask, okay? But the very first day of reading the book, I took the book to work with me and I thought I'll have a read at my coffee break. And I drove up to work and there were some people in the office across the road and they'd been locked out of the office, so they were waiting for someone to let them in. So I went and offered them coffee. And then later on that morning, I read the book and it said, go show God's love to other people. And I thought, tick. Day one, went downhill from that point, okay? Struggle from then on. So we struggle to do good. We struggle with those who hurt us. We struggle with people we want to take revenge on sometimes. But I want you to take comfort this morning in the fact that Paul knows those struggles, and the Romans knew the struggles, the people that Paul was writing to, because if it wasn't a problem, Paul wouldn't have put it in here. If they had asked us, Paul wouldn't have even mentioned it. So I take comfort in that I'm not alone, and so should you. We're not alone. There's other people who know what it's like. And Paul did. And when you reflect back up the chapter and some of the things that have been said, we've already learned, I just want to tell you about three things that I think we can take and that will help us to maybe put this into practice. Because it's difficult to say, yeah, just go do it. Because if you're like me, you'll struggle. Maybe I'm the only one, okay? But you might struggle with just doing good to others. And I think there's some good points in this chapter. First of all, let's jump back to the start of the chapter. Verse 2, be transformed. Be transformed, your thinking. Verse 2 says this, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A famous translation by a guy called Phillips translates it this, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mould, but let God remould your mind from within, so that you may prove and practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. So Paul knew the struggles, but he also knew that one of the answers was to allow God to transform our thinking, to transform our minds. It comes with transformation. It's not a natural thing. It's not what the world says. What does the world say? Don't get mad, get even. You've heard that? And yet, Paul is giving something countercultural here. And if you go back to the words of Jesus, listen to these words from Jesus. You've heard it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. And in Luke's Gospel, Jesus says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, for your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. And God wants us to, I guess, come to him and let him change our way of thinking. It's not something we can just do on our own. Maybe speaking for myself, not something I can do on my own. It's naturally love people who I would consider. I don't have enemies. I don't think any of us would say we get enemies, but people who just maybe have done things wrong to me. Who remembers the 90s? Who remembers WWJD? Who remembers what it stands for? What would Jesus do? Okay. What would Jesus do? And everyone was wearing bracelets saying WWJD. And the idea was, when you were in a situation, you looked on your wrist and thought, what would Jesus do? I think it's more important to ask, what would Jesus want me to do? But it was quite a good way to remind us to do what Jesus wants us to do. I love the fact that Paul knows these struggles. Because Paul is saying, do not be conformed. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mould. And we think, that's okay for you, Paul. You don't know the people I've got to deal with. You don't know the people I encounter. But listen to these words from Paul from a few chapters before. But I need something more. For I know the law, but I still can't keep it. And it's the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions. I obviously need help. I realise I don't have what it takes. I can will it, or you can think about it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something is going wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. This is Paul saying these words. And he goes on and says, I have tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? So Paul is just saying, he struggles. When he decides he's going to do good, he ends up doing bad. If he decides I'm not going to do that bad thing, he somehow does it anyway. And he really struggles. But then at the end of these verses, it says this. The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. So Paul knew what it was like to struggle with this, but Paul knew that the answer was in Jesus and allowing Jesus to work in your life and allowing him to transform you. Find that encouraging this morning, that we can go and let him change us. Second thing I think we find in this chapter that helps us, and again it emphasises we're not alone, is that we are in family together. We are in this together. Paul says earlier on in the chapter, for each one of us has one, sorry, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not have all the same function, so in Christ, though many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We are in this together. We are a body. We are the body of Christ. So we're not called to do these things on our own. And in these verses we're looking at, sorry, in the verses just before the ones we're looking at, it says, share with the lost people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Live in harmony with one another. Associate with people of low position. Do not, and then it goes on, do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This isn't just about people who are out there in the world. This is about us together. We are called to be a body, which means we will disagree on things. We will do things that may annoy each other, but we're called to also bring that together and pull together. And we do this for a number of reasons. First of all, because God is love. And when we share the love of Christ with each other, that reflects out into the world. And it was good Owen sharing this morning, because that Afghan family, they've experienced a bit of the love of God from this church. And John writes that when we show love to one another, dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And then, as God's love was revealed among us in this way, God sent his Son, and only Son, into the world so that we might live through him. So we as a community, as a body, share the love of Christ, but that reflects out into the world. Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. So when we together, when we love each other, when we express that love, the world looks on and sees. The second thing is it shows that we are his followers. Jesus said this, talking about love, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It doesn't say they'll know how cool we are as a church because we've got the best coffee. We've got amazing coffee, by the way. But that's not what the world sees Jesus in. They will a bit, actually, because they do appreciate excellence. Okay? It's not the fact we've got a good worship team. We have got a good worship team. It may not be the theology, but it's actually the love that the Christians have that Jesus said will reflect him to the world, that will draw people to know him. So we are in this together because it reflects God to the world. We're also called not only to do good works, just want to encourage us together, but we're encouraged to We're encouraged to encourage one another to do good works. Just realise that's probably not a great sentence. Hebrews says this, book of Hebrews, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. So you're not just called to do good works, right? And you're called to encourage each other, but you've also got to think of ways how you're going to encourage other people in the church to do good works. Have you ever thought of that before? So sometimes we come up with things and say, we're going to do this. Or Adam might stand up and say, we've got this idea, we're going to go and serve this, or we're going to do the community festival. Adam's actually putting this verse into practice because he's not saying, I'm going to go and do these good works, or you should go do these works. But he's actually thinking, how do I inspire people and motivate people to serve God? So what have you done recently to motivate others to do good works, to serve God? So there's two things in the chapter so far that helps us to, I suppose, grow in this area. And the final one, and I'm not going to sing it, I've called it Let It Go. Okay? Excuse me, kind of a, I'm not on the piano, definitely not going to do that. Okay. Let It Go, in other words, hand it over to God. Verse 19 says this in the Message, don't insist on getting even. That is not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. So rather than being eaten up with maybe hurt from something that someone said or done to you, your family, or just someone who's done something, we have to just give it up to God and let God deal with it. And that's sometimes difficult to do, isn't it? Okay, but I thought we'd have a testimony this morning, and Helen's going to come and just share. She shared this in a small group and says, Helen, you need to come and tell the church this. Because it actually puts this into practice when we are maybe struggling with something and we want to take it out on someone. Sometimes we just need to give it to God. Helen.
I'm terrified. I was hoping I won't be able to come so you can read my testimony. Some of you know about my problems with my son. The short story is he's 12 and he's almost 15, sorry. I raised him for 12 years by myself and now he doesn't want to see me. He doesn't answer my calls for weeks, maybe months. He lives with his father. Last year in May, I was on the bus going home. I was talking on the phone with my sister, and I was saying, I can't just wait for him to realize what he's doing. I need to do something. I will go home and call his father, and something will happen. So I got home, and I opened the YouTube application to put on some music before calling the father. The first song that came, it was Wait On You. I knew this song, I liked it, so I just opened it. And in the middle of the song, someone started to talk. David said in Psalm 27, I will remain confident in this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God has not finished with my story. God has not finished with my testimony. If God said it, he's going to do it. I'm going to remain confident that I will see God show up. So wait patiently for the Lord. Wait patiently, I say. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. He was talking. I was doing something. Wait, wait, wait. Don't try to take matters into your own hands. At this point, I started to listen. Don't try to do this in your own way. Wait on the Lord, I say. Wait on the Lord, I say. And he kept repeating the words to make sure I hear them. I will remain confident while I'm waiting. I will trust in the Lord while I'm waiting. I couldn't believe what he was saying. Was God talking to me? Was he trying to stop me on taking the matter into my own hands? And the person carried on talking. And I feel this morning we are supposed to pray for people who are waiting. Feel like we are supposed to pray for people in the room. I wasn't in that room, but he was in my room. Who are waiting to get married. I didn't necessarily wait to get married, but I was praying for my future husband. Then he said a few other prayer requests, and then waiting for kids to come back home. Waiting for a prodigal son to come back to church. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I was staring at the phone and felt overwhelmed by the strong voice of God who spoke to me so clearly and stopped me to make the situation become worse. And the speaker carried on. I feel this song is ministering to you. Those words are stirring your soul to say, wait. Wait on the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Be patient. God has not finished. Even though close the doors that you've been looking at, God says, wait on the Lord. Wait. Don't give up. I'm getting married in 3 weeks. I didn't even ask for.
Thank you.
The situation with my son didn't change, but my heart did. I am peaceful and confident that God has the matter in his hands, in the safest place where it can be. When I struggle to find peace, I start to bless the Lord's name. I praise him, and the peace comes.
I'm so pleased Helen was able to share that this morning. She's got to go to work in a few minutes. She actually sent me and printed it out, so if she wasn't here, I was going to have to read it and impersonate Helen. But it's good that she's able to share that this morning. But we have to give it to God. We have to give it to God. So we're going to worship in a few moments' time. And I've not really thought how we finish in terms of prayer or whatever this morning. But I just thought what we might do is we're just going to worship. But if you want prayer this morning, maybe for a situation in your life, you just want God to move in, I think we'll maybe have some of the prayer team over in this area here. Just come forward during the worship time. Or maybe there's something in your life that you've had hurt. You know, maybe people have said things or done things. You know, and that's left a scar, and you just find it difficult to hand over to God. And we just want to draw alongside you this morning and pray for you. So we'll do that during the worship. Before we do that, I just want to say one final thing. The last verse says this: do not repay anyone evil for evil, and do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You've got to remember when Paul wrote these words, he wasn't writing to an individual. He was writing to a church. And when we read these words, sometimes we take them, you know, this is how it applies to me, which is fine to a degree, but it's also to us as a church. And I just want to encourage you In a few weeks' time, we've got the community festival, and we've got a chance as a church, as a body, to do good in our local community. So just a subtle plug at the end. Okay?
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not check us out on all social media platforms or visit broadmead.org.uk.